And now, with Barack Obama just days away from becoming the first African-American to hold a major party's nomination for president, we wanted to reflect on the larger implication of an African-American in the White House. All this week, we'll be hearing from different voices on what the possibility means to them in a segment we're calling What If? Before host Michelle Martin left for Denver, she had a chance to pose that question to Eric Holder Jr. His may not be a household name, but he's been a key member of Senator Obama's team, and he has an expansive resume. Eric Holder Jr. is a former associate judge of D.C. Superior Court, a former U.S. Deputy Attorney General, and now a senior legal advisor to the presumptive presidential nominee, Barack Obama. In that role, he helped lead the search committee for the vice presidency, and Michelle caught up with Holder at his home in Washington.
When you're honest with yourself, when you started on this journey as national co-chairman of the Obama campaign, did you honestly believe that you would see in your lifetime possibly the first black president?
No, to find ourselves where we are today is, as Barack has indicated, I think extremely improbable. But having met Barack and then having seen the impact that he had on the convention, you know, 4 years ago, and then talking to him, getting to know him about what he wanted to do with the country, and really kind of think tapping into what I think the country has wanted, I thought that there was at least the possibility, the real possibility, that he might be successful. And so, you know, here we are.
When did you actually confront the possibility that there could be this African-American man with his African-American family living in the White House? Do you remember when you actually confronted that real possibility?
My first trip to Iowa, it was still warm. It was probably the spring of 07. And I remember going to a bunch of places in Iowa, small towns, and there was an enthusiasm there for Barack that I found, frankly, surprising. I thought I was going to have to go out and sell him. And what I was getting was people asking pointed questions. People in Iowa take their role very seriously, asking pointed questions. But also, you got the sense that they were excited about Barack. Now, these were all white folks. I mean, there are not many black people in Iowa. And so it was, I thought if we could have these Midwestern white folks being excited about this black candidate, this African-American candidate, this could happen.
Do you remember how it felt to you to confront that yourself as an African-American man yourself? Because the interesting thing, of course, your whole career has been about equality of opportunity. I mean, you've been educated at very fine schools, just like Senator Obama. You've sat on the bench. You've worked at the highest levels of government, former U.S. Deputy Attorney General. So your whole career has been about seeking the possibility of allowing people to pursue their dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Or to have a level playing field. But now that at this high level, for example, does it change your sense of the way the world works?
Yeah, I think in some ways it is a logical progression. We're getting there a little sooner than perhaps I thought. But in some ways, I think Barack is part of a tradition. It starts, you know, you could look at Booker T. Washington. You can, you know, go to Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm, Martin Luther King. You know, progress has always been made. Jackie Robinson. I mean, in my household growing up, Jackie Robinson and Joe Louis were gods. Gods to my father. I grew up thinking, you know, that you couldn't root for a team unless, you know, they wore Dodger blue. That is until he left New York. And in some ways, I think that he's the logical extension of that. But again, this is happening a little sooner than I thought, you know, than I thought possible.
There are some people, and I'm sure you've heard this, who have very mixed feelings about this, even among African Americans. There are some who actually feel that an Obama presidency is a net negative because it will allow, if you want to put it that way, white folks to no longer feel any acknowledgement or responsibility, perhaps, for past discrimination. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, what do you think about that argument?
I think that would be an argument that would have some validity if the person were different than Barack is. Barack's a person who's proud to be an African-American, cognizant of our history in this country, and not somebody who has turned his back on who he is or on his people or on his background or what this nation has done in its treatment of African-Americans and the work that still needs to be done. You know, this country is going through a period of demographic diversity unlike it's seen ever. But 2050, 2042, something like that, there'll be more people of color in this country than whites. If we embrace that diversity, we can make ourselves stronger. If we don't deal with this fact, will be weaker, and I think Barack can help in that regard.
Well, some people argue the opposite. They think, in fact, because he's African American, he is less able to raise some of these issues than perhaps a more traditional politician would be, because he has to be aware of being perceived as favoring the community from which he comes. He has to be mindful of not seeming to overemphasize race. For example, when he made this joke that he'd made on the campaign trail a number of times about, yeah, I don't look like the guys on the dollar bills to this point, some people thought he was playing the race card. And clearly the McCain campaign thought so. So there are those who would argue that, in fact, he has less maneuvering room to talk about race. What do you think?
I mean, I guess you could allow yourself to be put into that corner, but he's not. I mean, he's not shied away, it seems to me, from talking about racial things and identifying himself as an African American. I mean, certainly there's a lot more to Barack Obama than the fact that he's an African American candidate. He's a guy who's shown, I think, good judgment. He's good in foreign affairs. He's good on economic policy. He's good energy policy. He's got all those things. But at his core, he's not walked away from who he is and has not been afraid to embrace the issues that are still of concern to people of color in this country.
Does it change what it is you're telling your kids about what's possible for them?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure you have to. They get it in a way. I mean, they're television. They watch way too much television. And they're on the internet in ways that I'm not. And I think that just through the media, they get a sense of possibilities that they didn't have before. In the same way that I think my daughters, while Hillary Clinton was running, were seeing things that were very positive for them and engendered hope in them about who they might be as women when they grow up.
One of the things that has come up a lot in the course of this campaign, at least among African Americans, is the fear question. There seems to be, and Michelle Obama has talked a lot about this, she seems to have talked about it perhaps more than he has, fear that something will happen to him, fear that he might not succeed and that somehow that will be bad for all African Americans in general. I think that maybe Joe Lieberman probably experienced some of the same thing as the first Jewish American to be on a major party ticket. But can you talk about that for a minute, the fear? Do you ever feel that way?
Sure. I was the first African American to be U.S. Attorney here in D.C., first African American to be Deputy Attorney General. And there's a part of you when you are the first that makes you want to do that extra thing because you don't want to let people down. You want to demonstrate to the larger community that African Americans are capable of doing the job, but you also don't want to let down the people who sacrificed to put you there. And so I'm sure that Barack feels that, you know, at some level. And is there fear on my part that, you know, he might not succeed? Not really. I think if given the chance, I think he'll do just fine. I think he's uniquely qualified to be president. And I think he'll make not only African Americans, but Americans generally proud.
I'm Cheryl Corley, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News in Washington. Michelle Martin is in Denver to cover the Democratic National Convention. In a few minutes, I'll share with you a report I did on Michelle Obama. But first, we return to Michelle's conversation with Eric Holder Jr., National Co-Chairman of the Obama for President campaign. Holder is a former Deputy Attorney General and most recently co-chaired the Vice Presidential Search Committee. This past weekend, Michelle visited Holder in his home to ask him about that experience, as well as the larger question of what it might mean for the racial dynamics of this country if an African American were to win the White House.
There are already some whites who, looking at the census figures, who say that whites will now be a minority in the U.S. in a long time, to be sure. I mean, that's, you know, 2042 is ways from now. But it already creates feelings of being minimized or feelings of having to change their relationship to the world in ways that perhaps is not welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, but I don't think there should be that feeling of minimization as much as an embracing of what essentially is the American dream, this notion that we welcome into this country people from different parts of the world. And, you know, what we're now experiencing is that we're bringing in people who come to this country with different color skin. But at the end of the day, we're all still going to be Americans, and we'll have, a lot of ways, a unique advantage over other countries, other competitors, the more racially homogenous societies. As this world kind of gets smaller, the ability to have people of color in significant numbers who can be perhaps the ambassadors in terms of economic things, political things, diplomatic things, is a real advantage for this nation. I think we should embrace this, and that helps whites as well. We'll all be better for it.
I wonder whether what happens, though, to the traditional so-called African-American leadership, the traditional civil rights leadership that comes out of the clergy, for example. Mm-hmm. There are some who say, what happens to that voice that who's always spoken truth to power?
Yeah, there's a transition that's going on, and there'll be some adjustments that have to be made. Part of it, I think, is generational. There's a new generation of people who are coming to the fore, whether it's Adrian Fenty here in Washington, D.C.
The new mayor of Washington, D.C.
Cory mm-hmm. Booker, you know, in Newark, Barack. There are new leaders, but that's not a bad thing either. Change in who are considered to be African-American leaders in this country. People stay on the stage. They have their time. They move the movement. They move the ball. And it's a natural progression and, again, something I think that ought to be embraced.
I have to ask you, though, about the vice presidential selection, given that you're also the co-chair of the vice presidential selection mm-hmm. effort. Is it a great relief to have that over with?
It was a lot of hard work. I think we ended up with a good candidate. I think Senator Biden is going to be a great complement to Barack. Caroline Kennedy was a great partner, and I think the process gave us a good candidate.
When he selected his vice president, George W. Bush said, you know, 8 years ago that his top concerns were, one, that the person be loyal, two, that was someone he got along with, mm-hmm. and three, that the person be ready to step in on day one should something happen to him. What were Barack Obama's the top three criteria?
Well, it's interesting because his first one was, this is a person who has to be able to step in and be president. And that was first, second, and third. And after that, there were other things that were considered. But what he told Caroline and I was that you have to come up with people who, at the end of the day, should something happen, can step in and be an effective president of the United States. Chemistry matters, some congruence with regard to political views, although Barack even there said, you know, it's good to have people who have different views, you know, different thoughts, and through that we'll come up with, you know, better positions.
What do you think was Joe Biden's most important quality that led to his selection?
I think there's a couple of things. Certainly his familiarity with foreign affairs, his familiarity with the law enforcement community in this country, and his familiarity with law enforcement issues. His background, he comes from a working class family in Scranton. He's a guy who has a very compelling personal story. He's been in Washington for a good number of years, and yet he goes home, you know, every night. He's a person who works in Washington, but he's not really of Washington. He's always had that kind of, I think, that different kind of view of the nation's capital. And I think that he's that rare combination of experience, but not a person who's necessarily a part of the what I would consider in some ways the negative parts of the city.
Was Senator Hillary Clinton ever seriously considered? It's been reported that she wasn't even asked for the customary vetting documents. Is that true?
She was very seriously considered, and conversations were had. I mean, I sat through them, and to hear those reports is really kind of jarring to me. She was very seriously considered. There's only so much that you need to do to vet Hillary Clinton. She's led her life, her public life, her life in a very public way for the last 20 years or so, and led it well. You know, I was very proud to have been a part of the Clinton administration. There were only, you know, what questions would you have to ask Senator Clinton about her financial life, about her political views? So she was very seriously considered.
What about Bill Richardson? Some people wonder why he doesn't seem to have been considered, and certainly has extensive foreign policy experience as well as extensive domestic policy experience, particularly on issues that are a very great concern right now. And he's a governor, and he has some management and administrative experience, which neither Barack Obama nor Joe Biden seems to have at this point, other than running campaigns in Senate offices.
Yeah, I don't want to go into all the people who were considered and, you know, what we did with them, but I can say, I will say this, to go that far, that Senator, the Governor Richardson was a very, very serious candidate. He was one of the finalists.
He was one of the finalists.
He was one of the finalists, yeah.
The irony, of course, being that what some people remember of Senator Biden, he's run for president before, but what they remember about this campaign is a gaffe at the very beginning when he called Senator Obama famously clean, articulate, you know, mainstream, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. And there were whole mm-hmm. shows about, you know, what the heck is he talking about? Mm-hmm. And for some, that kind of exemplifies just the kind of boneheadedness that some mm-hmm. people unfortunately have about what it means to be African-American. I just wondered, mm-hmm. when you consider where he started out and then where he ends up is sort of on the ticket. Yeah. Does that say anything interesting?
Well, you know, I think that was a poor choice of words. by Senator Biden. I don't think that reflected any kind of negative racial thing. I think he was trying to be complimentary of Barack and talk about the historical possibility that Barack represented. And he chose some bad words. And, you know, and very early on, Barack said, you know, there's nothing bad about Joe Biden. I mean, he's got a good heart, and he meant well. But I think the fact that even though there was that incident, that ultimately Barack picked Joe Biden says, I think, a lot about Barack in that, you know, he put that comment in perspective and didn't bother him and picked that particular person to be, you know, his vice president.
And final question on this point, though, is it possible, though, as part of the logic here, that the country was not ready for a ticket with two minorities, or an African-American and a white woman at the top of the ticket, or African-American and a Latino-American, that the country just isn't ready for that, that you needed to balance this relatively young African-American man with someone who has a more traditional profile?
No, I think the country, I think that, you know, if for whatever reason, the selection had been Governor Richardson or Senator Clinton, that you know, the country would have embraced that ticket. I think it's just that Senator Biden brings a unique skill set, a unique set of experiences, a unique personality that I think will mesh well with what Barack wants to do. He'll be embraced, I think, by the country.
Is there anything about Obama that has caused you to think differently about being black?
Well, I tell you, he engenders in me a lot of pride. I studied American history in college, and as I said earlier, to see, I guess I feel like I'm an older guy at this point, but to see this younger guy really take the world stage and have people, not only in this country but around the world, embrace him and place in him their hopes has for me been something that's been really heartwarming to see. And so there's been a great deal of pride that he has generated in me. And also, you know, you can't help but feel, as you look at him, you can't help but think about all the people who've gone before him and who were denied opportunities and who made this possible. I mean, I think about my dad, who loved this country as only an immigrant can, and who told me about how...
Where is he an immigrant from?
He's from Barbados in the West Indies, but who told me when he was in the Army in World War II, how he was not allowed to eat in certain places when he was out in the Midwest, and how he had to stand in the back of a train while he was in uniform. And to think that we've gone from that to having the possibility of a black man being president of the United States, it says a lot about this country generally and engenders in me a lot of pride and hope.
Eric Holder Jr. is national co-chair of the Obama for President campaign. He's also a former U.S. attorney, a former deputy attorney general, a former judge, and he was kind enough to join us from his home in Washington. We thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Michelle Martin spoke with Eric Holder Jr. this past Saturday at his home in Washington.